there, and welcome to Minnie Mouse Cast number 2 for the week of October 20th, 2010. A few days ago, Joyce and I posted an impromptu poll on Twitter and Facebook. The question was, what's the first attraction or ride that you visit when you go to the Disneyland Resort? Amazingly, at least to me, Space Mountain got the most votes.
Did you forget that our first visit in 2007, the first ride that we rode was Space Mountain?
No, how can I forget?
I know. It's still one of my favorite rides, though.
Yeah, it's one of your favorite rides, and apparently
a lot of people.
But, I mean, it's okay. It's not one of my favorite rides.
I think it's because it's the dark roller coaster.
Well, yeah, probably. Now, following Space Mountain was Soarin', Pirates of the Caribbean, Screamin' in the Tiki Room. Oh, and apparently the most popular place to visit upon arriving seems to be the bathroom. Thanks to everyone who participated in the poll, and keep a watch out, because we'll launch some more.
Did you know there's a new character meet and greet in Fantasyland? Visit Rapunzel and Flynn Rider from Tangled. It's a great photo op, and maybe they added a hidden Mickey to the area.
They did?
I don't know, maybe.
Speaking of hidden Mickeys, our Skype Chatterview guests were mentioned in Stephen M. Barrett's Disneyland's Hidden Mickeys, a field guide to Disneyland Resort's Best Kept Secrets, 2nd edition, page 11 and 13, in the acknowledgments.
Check it out.
Stay tuned for some mouse chatter.
Unfortunately, the microphone Joyce and I used for the Skype chatter view kind of goofed up a bit. All right, so maybe it was me and trying to figure out the new settings. So our audio isn't terrific, but Rosemary and Neil's audio is absolutely great. So enjoy this Skype chat.
Take it away, Rosemary and Neil.
Thanks for joining us today. We have with us some interesting folks. They are the creators of the findingmickey.com website. We found them on Twitter. And they got some pretty interesting stories. This is Rosemary and Neil Garcia from Southern California.
Yes, San Diego.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Awesome. I'm Rosemary. Neil's here.
So you guys just completed the Happy Haunts tour over in California Adventure. What did you think of that tour?
It was a fun tour. We got there around 5 and we got our lanyards. They glow in the dark and we got little keys on the ends of them. And
it's pretty high tech now. We had been on a couple tours in the past, but for this tour, they set you up with headphones and headsets so that you can listen directly to the host. So he doesn't have to, I guess the host, he or she doesn't have to shout and you kind of get the information right from them, and the information doesn't get disseminated to people who are kind of like lurking.
I did like that because you could hear everything he was saying, and also they had like background sounds and music, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah, we went on the tour in September when we went to Disney, and yeah, we thought it was just amazing. It was really fun.
Yeah, we had a good time. Our tour guide, Master Gracie, he was so great, and he was just hilarious.
Yeah, I think just like some of the Jungle Cruise captains, the tour guide really drives the tour and kind of determines whether it's going to be fun or not. And he made it really, really funny, really sarcastic kind of.
You know, he could make jokes about, while we were walking, he kept calling little children goblins.
Right.
Say, look at that little goblin. And, you know, we'd all look at this kid and they don't know why we're looking at them or laughing because we're doing it in the headsets, you know.
Right.
It's just so funny.
Did you take your little goblins with you?
No, they're little, 3 years old and 20 months old, so.
Wow.
We left them with Grandma and Grandpa.
future Disney annual passport holders.
Yes, for sure.
So it's very obvious that you guys are huge Disney fans. I've looked at your site, and you know, I've been reading a lot of the posts that you make on Twitter, and it's good for us to see that there are other people out there that share our love for, you know, the happiest place on earth. And I know this is kind of a broad question, but what led you to start this findingmickey.com?
It actually started, I was interested in, I had heard rumors about these hidden Mickeys, mm-hmm. and also, you know, secrets of Disneyland Park, and I was really interested, and I started buying different books, Mouse Tales, and things like that, and looking on the web, and there was another website, but it was kind of where people would confirm or deny, or there weren't any pictures, and I really wanted concrete evidence of, like, where a certain hidden Mickey was, and I wanted to see what it looked like. So I said, I'm just going to start this website with pictures. And that was the main focus, to find them all and post pictures of them so people could see them and they would know right away that, yes, there is a hidden Mickey at this one, you know, this location.
And this is what it looks like.
And this is what it looks like.
Right. I think that's amazing. We kind of stumbled across the hidden Mickeys by accident as well. For you know, anyone who's listened to our show in the past, you know that I'm kind of a recent, what should I say, recent lover of Disneyland. I just started going to Disneyland in 2007. That was my very first visit ever to Disney, and I just absolutely fell in love with the place. Well, I think it was our third visit that year, or within that year. We were in California Adventure, yeah, in the backlot area, and I was looking up on top of the animation building, and on the flagpole, and I noticed in the top of there, it kind of looked like there was a Mickey. So I zoomed in with my camera, and just then a cast member was walking by, and she was kind of giggling, and she explained to me what the hidden Mickey phenomenon was, and we've been hooked ever since.
Right. Yeah. I can't remember what our first one was that we found.
Well, it kind of blurs together.
Oh, yeah, because there's so many now.
I know one of, like, a couple of the first that we found together were the Painting the Roses Red scene and Alice in Wonderland. There's some droplets of paint that had fallen onto one of the bushes, and they create a really distinct hidden Mickey.
That's one of our favorites.
One of the first, too. The Haunted Mansion ballroom scene was another one of the early ones for us.
Right.
You know, keep your eyes on the table, and you'll see that occasionally there's a ballroom place setting that has a large place setting plate and two smaller saucers as the ears. And it gets moved around from time to time. Sometimes it's not even there.
Right, we've noticed that.
Yeah.
Depending on the cast members and who's cleaning the ride, or actually dirtying up the ride.
But we always look for it.
And one of those little factoids, they actually have to bring dirt, dust, and cobwebs in to make the Haunted Mansion look dirty.
Oh, I could ship them some of ours.
Well, it's kind of weird, though. When we started the site, I kind of was actually in my anti-Disney phase. Because... going back to when I was a little younger, I'd actually worked at the Disney store as a cast member.
Oh, very cool.
So my first experience with the hidden Mickey was, we had a Mickey mural painted above the cash register. And there was like a little, like, it was actually a sprinkler, like a fire sprinkler in the palm of his hand, but it was covered over with like a little dot. So kids would look up, and for the most part, nobody would notice this Mickey. So he's kind of like our hidden Mickey above the register. But kids would look up and say, "What's that in his hand?" And at the time, Pogs were really big.
Oh, yeah, so I remember those.
The kids, it's a white Pog. He's just holding a Pog. And like other people would look up like, "Oh, wow, there's a Mickey up there." Well, yeah, I thought I was going to go into animation, and that ended up not happening. So went off to college, and I was kind of anti-Disney for a while, and I was going to school in Irvine, and Rosemary would come up and visit me from San Diego, and she was still a big Disney fan, going back to, you know, when her grandparents took her to Disney World, so she would want to go, and I was kind of like, well, okay, let's go, half-heartedly. And I think it was like 2003, 2004, she started to get into hidden Mickeys, and started the site, and I was kind of like really against it at first. I was like, wow, do you have enough time to do this? And they even really exist? And as she started getting more and more of these photos, she started to turn me onto it. I was like, wow, there are these like hidden things at the park that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, so he turned, and now he works on the website more than I do, really.
Well, it's a very nice looking website. I like it.
It is very nice. Can you share with our listeners that aren't aware of what a hidden Mickey is? Can you describe in your own words what a hidden Mickey is?
Well, going back to the old studio days, you had a lot of characters like Ward Kimball, who were always, you know, pulling gags on other animators, they were all jokesters. So they would occasionally slip each other's likenesses into the art. So those were like the first hidden like things that they would do. Occasionally they would, you know, you'd have like guys that looked like Ward Kimball or other animators. And from there it kind of evolved over the years. The first recorded hidden Mickey, I think, was at Walt Disney World from like the mid to late 80s. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it was published in, I think, a cast member journal that this guy actually found and photographed a Mickey that had been hidden on the ride by an Imagineer. So I guess the process was more or less a secret thing up until recently, when I guess the thing is kind of taken off. So now, you know, it's kind of encouraged that the Imagineers and the cast members kind of think of hidden Mickeys to kind of fit onto the rides. A lot of the newer rides, like you'd notice at California Adventure, there are a lot more hidden Mickeys than at Disneyland.
But basically, a hidden Mickey, I would say, is like a circle with two smaller circles to form the ears. That would be considered like a classic Mickey. And we have guidelines that we go by. They have to be proportioned, like there should be a larger circle for Mickey's head and then two smaller circles for the ears. And I know sometimes they kind of can get distorted. People think rocks and pebbles, you know, are hidden Mickeys, but you know, it has to be. I think the number one thing is it has to be purposeful. Like, they put it there on purpose to be a Mickey.
Right.
You know, it wasn't an accidental Mickey. And I mean, there are so many wishful Mickeys. People are always emailing us about, how come you don't have this Mickey? And, well, we have to say, well, we don't think it's really a purposeful Mickey. And we kind of, you know, go with our guidelines. But it's all subjective. We don't like to tell people things aren't hidden Mickeys, because if they see a Mickey there, you know, that's good.
Right, right.
They see a Mickey, you know?
And when we started out pretty early, we would go to City Hall and ask the ambassadors there, you know,
so
we would ask them about random things. Like, we went on a trip and we were wondering why there are all these vegetables and fruit trees in Tomorrowland, and they explained it to us. So when we started doing the hidden Mickey thing, we thought that would be the best place to start. And one of the cast members there kind of helped us with those guidelines. She's like, well, it has to be proportioned. That's the number one thing. It has to be purposeful. Because, yeah, like Rosemary said, there are a lot of random, like, hidden Mickey shapes in nature that just kind of happen by accident. Whereas, you know, if you look on a specific ride and you see, like, there are three specific dots that are connected, as opposed to a bunch of other... I think Winnie the Pooh would be a great example. There's a scene where there are, like,
honey splatters
everywhere. But there are three distinct circles that are connected, and those are the only three connected.
It's purposely made to be a Mickey. It doesn't have to also be, like, a classic Mickey. It can also be the outline of a Mickey.
Peter Pan has a silhouette of Mickey on the clock tower as you fly around London. So it's not the classic Mickey in the sense of three circles, but it's actually Mickey's silhouette.
Yeah, and it's pretty hidden. I like that one.
Another odd hidden Mickey that people consider is on Splash Mountain. As you come to the end of the ride, there's actually a photograph of Mickey right there where it used to show your Splash Mountain photograph before you exit the ride, before you exit the log ride. But there's actually a clear photo of Mickey riding Splash Mountain there, hanging on the left side of the wall.
I've never seen that.
I don't think I've noticed it either.
Yeah, we just recently got a photo of it, just because it was hard for us to ride the ride with our kids. So,
we can't go on any roller coaster type rides with them with us. We have to go to Fantasyland. So we're mainly there. That's why Neil started doing the carousel horses. And that's a funny story, because we had heard all the carousel horses had names. And we had been talking with a girl that is a cast member there, but she didn't want to divulge the names to us because she wasn't sure if it was, you know, allowed. So we had asked recently for a list at City Hall for, like, if you go there, you can get a horse name list. And the last one we got, it had numbers on it, like barcodes. And the horses have barcodes underneath them. So
yeah,
Neil,
on a whim, we looked underneath and found that the barcodes matched.
So Neil must have rode the carousel I don't know how many times in a row to take a picture of the horse and then take a picture of the barcode. And that's how we got all the names for all the horses.
And I'm still super vertigo. So.
I can't believe he did that, but it was funny.
That's pretty neat, though.
But yeah, I guess the Hidden Mickey thing spawned, like, us, you know, kind of inspired us to look for other things. Like, the Hidden Mickeys were kind of not so big, and then all of a sudden, 2005, they had the 50 Golden Mickeys, so that kind of built it up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Like, now more people were looking for Hidden Mickeys because they saw the Golden Mickeys and got more interested. And on top of that, people were asking, well, are there any other secrets or other tidbits?
Mm-hmm.
And we started noticing, I remember from my cast member days, that the seal above Sleeping Beauty Castle is actually the Disney family crest.
Right.
So, you know, we took a picture of that and put it on the site, and we're like, well, we can't have just one picture.
So we started with all these little facts and tidbits and any little secret Disney information we can get. So.
Well, that's a great resource for us.
Yeah, and I know that you spend a lot of time on the carousel, so I'm sure that you know that on King Arthur, the gold tooth, the horse with the gold tooth, was Lily's favorite.
Yes, the balloon.
Yes.
Wow, they even know the names.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys know that. Have you ever ridden the Lily Bell?
Yes.
The train? Okay, good.
That's on a recent, well, no, it's probably one of our first shows, we did a segment on the Lily Bell. And there's a hidden Mickey in the Lily Bell that we found. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. That's good, because a lot of people don't know that you can ask to ride that, so
right.
That's another cool
but, yeah,
tip.
It's not 100%. It's not guaranteed, because I guess it depends on their staffing for that day.
If they have
right.
someone who can ride in there with you.
Yeah, I think we've ridden it twice, and
mm-hmm.
the first time we rode it, they didn't give us the ticket, but the second time we got a ticket.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we still need a ticket.
I think you have to ask them.
Yeah, you have to ask them. It's a neat little ticket. It's a lot better than I thought it would be. It's a nice little souvenir.
That's cool.
Our cool Lily Bell story was when we actually got to ride it, there was another couple that was waiting around. And I think we waited like 2 or 3 hours before we could actually get seated on the Lily Bell. So this other couple, we kept making eye contact with them because we figured they were waiting for the same thing we were waiting for. Finally got on the Lily Bell and we started talking. And then they're like, well, how did you guys find out about this? And I'm like, oh, well, we have a Disney site called findingmickey.com, and they're like, oh my god, we've actually been to your site. So we actually met like our two fans. Really weird.
No, that was just funny.
It's just a weird coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you done the Tinder ride as well?
Oh, we've been meaning to. It's just tough because we have the two
kids,
little ones.
Yeah.
That is a truly amazing ride as well.
Yeah, you can I think it's Disneyland Obsession. He has our Tinder ride on his
right.
website. But the reason I asked about that is because the engineers will tell you, and you may already know about this because I think you know most of the Hidden Mickeys, but there's one in the Grand Canyon scene, and they actually move it. It's three rocks.
It's actually
the
dinosaur.
Yeah,
world, yeah.
And they move them around all the time, like almost every night.
Oh, cool. We need to...
I guess we didn't know that one.
Yeah. It was pretty neat.
I think the only other secret we know of in that scene is the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Walt didn't feel comfortable with him only having two fingers on his arms. So he has the only three-fingered Tyrannosaurus Rex in the world. He said he thought it looked better, so...
So we know that you guys are obviously humongous Disneyland resort fans. What would you say is your favorite attraction? Or let's just say one of your top two must-see attractions at Disneyland.
That's a hard question. I think one of them is the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's our favorite, especially, you know, during the holidays when they switch it up. It's just so fun. And so, you know, all the decorations, it's so great. And I don't know
what. And it kind of makes you miss the other theming for it when.
It keeps it interesting.
Yeah, it's like when you have the regular Haunted Mansion, you kind of pine for the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay. Mm-hmm. Then when you actually have the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, it makes you miss the regular Haunted Mansion. So it's kind of, it goes back and forth.
Right.
What would be our second?
Oh, it's tough.
That is so hard.
It's not the most exciting ride, but I really do love the railroad.
Also,
all the history involved and like all the little factoids that you can get out of, you know, from just one train, how like some were, you know, 100-year-old engines that were purchased and others were built from scratch by actual Imagineers. So there's just a lot of history that goes on with the trains.
It does have a lot. And that was Walt's favorite, was his trains, you know, so.
Kind of part of the reason he built the park was, you know, a combination of him being inspired by his daughters and being inspired by friends who would take he had his own backyard locomotive, and he would take friends and neighborhood kids for rides. And I think that kind of inspired him to build the park. It's one of the little stories you hear. He actually has a barn that there was a barn at Griffith Park that used to be in their backyard, and it was relocated there years after the property was sold. And they have a little museum there dedicated to Walt and his trains. So it's pretty interesting. We took a trip out there, but haven't been able to go through the photos yet.
Yeah, it's really nice to visit.
Well, we on Tales from the Mouse House, we do a segment that we call Magical Moments. Basically, what a magical moment is one of those special things that you experience at the park. You know, it's either something you've seen, you've witnessed, or something that's actually, you know, you've experienced personally yourself that you take with you forever. And it's that specific thing that exemplifies the Disney spirit. Do you have any of those type of memories or magical moments that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, we go so much. It's
personally,
from
my childhood, I mean, I remember my dad taking me all the time and my grandparents taking me. And those were really special times. But now, taking our kids, I think with our first son, his first trip to Disneyland was really special for us. Even though he was just a baby then, I think it was more special for us because we were taking him there for his first trip. And now they love to go all the time. So whenever they ask to ride, they always want to ride Mr. Toad or Dumbo, or they try to pull the sword out of the stone. You know, we always try to capture these moments on, you know, camera, and they're all just very special to us.
That's great.
I think one time we were actually invited to go to Club 33, that was something that, you know, we had been looking, you know, looking for an inn for years, and we finally, you know, someone was nice enough to get us in.
But we were there, and I was very pregnant with these two babies.
But it was still like the service and everything, and just being there, and it was, you know, it really was magical. Like everyone went the extra mile there.
That was a special.
And just knowing the history that, you know, it was someplace special for Walt to bring special people, you know, it kind of made us feel like, ooh, you know, we're actually
special. We felt special. We took pictures of everything, the bathroom, the toilet.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now on your website, and holy cow, that's amazing.
It was really awesome.
And I think the cast members got a kick out of how excited we were, because they saw us just taking pictures of everything.
And they're like, do you want us to take a picture of you? And we're like, okay.
Oh, yeah, look, there's the princess throne.
Yeah. That's all, even the towels.
No kidding. Yeah. So you can see this on findingmickey.com under Club 33. It's, yeah. Well, do you have anything that you'd like to discuss, you know, maybe promote your website or anything else that you're doing that you'd like our listeners to know?
We're always on the lookout for more Hidden Mickeys, so that's
we just try to keep that updated. And we're also trying to get as many characters, costumed characters, as we can, make a list of those guys. and we always, you know, anything Disney-related, even at the San Diego Comic-Con, we try to cover all the Disney things happening there. The D23 Expo, I'm so excited that, you know, for next year.
Oh,
for
you guys are going?
Definitely. Got
ours. Yeah. Well, yeah, we bought our tickets when they went on sale, too. Well, we'll have to, arrange something for the D23 Expo to hook up and then, you know, share some time together. I think that would be great.
Definitely. That'll be fun.
Well, the website is findingmickey.com, and it's a great website. We recommend everybody who listens to us, all two of our listeners, go visit. Well, four now, right? Because you guys listen. Okay, you're right. It's more than three. Visit findingmickey.com and sign their guest book. And if you know of any hidden Mickeys, submit it to them, and you know, they'll confirm it, or they'll, you know, politely tell you that's not it. You guys are also on Twitter, right?
Yes, Twitter. We're at Finding Mickey on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And what else? We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Facebook group, and I think a fan page also.
Very cool.
There's also a Flickr group where a lot of Hidden Mickey fans like to post, you know, Hidden Mickeys. Photos of Hidden Mickeys.
So we encourage people to post their own Finding Hidden Mickey photos at our Finding Mickey group on Flickr, flickr.com.
Very cool. Well, we highly recommend everyone who listens to us, you know, become friends and do, you know, the following and all that good stuff on Twitter and Facebook. So if you're not going to follow or befriend anybody else, befriend us and befriend Finding Mickey.
Yes.
Well, Neil and Rosemary, thank you very, very much for taking the time to speak with us tonight. It's always a pleasure meeting other people who love Disneyland as much as we do, if not more. And thanks for sharing everything that you did with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to our Minnie Mouse cast.
Don't forget that coming up on our October 30th show, we'll be releasing our special Halloween episode.
We'll have some Disneyland ghost stories and myths for you. We'll review some, well, spooky-themed attractions. And we'll discuss the happiest haunts tour that we recently went on. Hey, if you know of any interesting and spooky stories that are Disneyland-related, or even if they're not and they're just really, really cool, drop us a line at talespodcast@cox.net or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to share them on our show.
And if you have any photos of your coolest Halloween costumes, send those our way too. We'd love to see them and maybe even put them on our enhanced podcast.
And our website.
Yes, and we've gotten a couple already, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I love the little dog one. Cute!
If you like these shorter shows, let us know. We're always looking for new things to chat about, too. So send your comments or suggestions to talespodcast@cox.net.
And you can join the fun on Twitter and Facebook at Tales Podcast. Or if you're feeling really, really generous, you can leave us feedback on iTunes. Please, please, we need the feedback. We need the affirmation.
So until next time,
see you real soon. Eyes and don't try to hide, or a silly spook may sit by your side, shrouded in a daft disguise.
They pretend to terrorize. Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
As the moon climbs high o'er the dead oak tree, spooks arrive for the midnight spree. Creepy creeps with eerie eyes start to shriek.